Over the past decade, Hungary and Poland have presented challenges to the rule of law and the EU project. Political appointments of judges and often spurious proceedings against them are among the issues causing tension, and COVID-19 has further aggravated the situation. On numerous occasions, the European Commission has referred Poland to the Court of Justice of the European Union. José Igreja Matos, the president of the European Association of Judges, describes the importance of an independent judiciary and the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic in this area.
When you start to climb these normally high stairs, many stairs, to go to a court, these impressive buildings, what one should expect from a judge? Of course, you want that the judge knows the law, that he or she should be a good technician. But the main thing is that the judge must be impartial. He or she should decide on the case regardless of the person, regardless of the litigant, regardless of the person is powerful, is a rich person, he has some lobbies, some influences. This should not matter. And this is the cornerstone of a judge. If you are not impartial, and by impartial, I mean obviously independent, you can be a wonderful jurist, but you are not a judge. This is our genetical code, to look at the litigants equally, regardless of their power, regardless of their influence, and of course, to be protected, because we decide sometimes against those who are more powerful. We must be protected by the government, by the state, in order not to be punished by this impartiality, by this independence. You know, the pandemic, unfortunately, has enhanced these dystopian temptations of many politicians and governments. And now we have all these strict rules that sometimes goes far beyond the health problems that we are facing. And the pandemic is a temptation for those who have autocratic or authoritarian policies. And this is another issue that we should be aware of. And there is yet another plague, if I may call it, that normally is very connected with the problem of a crisis of rule of law, of judicial independence. And to put it very frankly, one word, corruption. The special rapporteur for the independence of judges and lawyers of United Nations stated that corruption and the fight against corruption is crucial to defend judicial integrity and judicial independence. And we must be aware also of these circumstances that are imposing us in so many countries in Europe. To protect human rights, to avoid abuse, to preserve the rights of normal citizens, all this depends on a very complex structure that depends heavily on the impartiality of the judges. If we lose that, we lose everything.
Sophie Intveld is a Dutch member of the European Parliament for the Democrat 66 Party and a member of the Group of the Alliance of Liberals and Democrats for Europe. She speaks about the implications for the rule of law of emergency lawmaking in the context of the pandemic.
The worry is always in the combination of measures. I mean, most EU member states have introduced the state of emergency or some form of emergency law, but that's not unusual. As long as all the safeguards are in place, as long as it's regularly reviewed, as long as Parliament will have the power to repeal it, as long as all the, let's say, normal safeguards and legal remedies stay in place. In most countries, that will be the case, but not in all the countries. And there is definitely a tendency to stick to the state of emergency for longer than necessary. That is a tendency we see everywhere. We have seen in France, for example, after the terrorist attacks, very understandably and sensibly, they introduced the state of emergency, but then it lasted for 2 years. And then some of that emergency, state of emergency was then turned into regular legislation. So, you know, it's always a slippery slope. But I think a robust democracy can handle that. But of course, there are countries where we have grave concerns and have had grave concerns for many years, like Hungary and Poland in particular, but we can see a few other countries. And they are basically abusing this situation to further strengthen their grip on the judiciary, on parliament, eliminating some fundamental rights which are completely unrelated to the COVID-19 crisis.
Intveld discusses action that could be taken in response to these concerns.
For example, on the one hand, making it more difficult for governments and government parties to get access to EU funding, because we see in practice that rather than using that money for the people who need it, as small and medium-sized enterprises, local authorities, NGOs, what have you, that money ends up in the pockets of oligarchs who are propping up the regime of Orban, for example. So rather than giving the money to the governments, we should give it directly to the beneficiaries. I think we should inversely also give more support, direct support, to, for example, civil society and media. I mean, not specific media, left-wing, right-wing, whatever, but for preserving media pluralism. Because now, in particular, we see that the independent media are not just under pressure from governments, but they're also under a huge economic strain. They may just go, bankrupt. Yeah. And independent journalists. So I think the EU should make funds available for media and civil society to make sure that the checks and balances and the critical voices will survive this crisis.
A conditionality regulation was put into the EU budget for 2021 to allow for funding to be withheld if a member state has breached the rule of law. However, the regulation has encountered challenges and delays. Meanwhile, the situation in Poland continues to deteriorate. Laurent Pesch, Professor of European Law at Middlesex University, discusses the shortcomings of the regulation and which measures could prove more immediately useful.
This conditionality regulation was adopted essentially at the end of December and has been presented as a game changer by the Commission, the Parliament, and even the Council. So everyone seems to be in agreement that this is a game changer. I'm afraid I disagree. This is certainly a welcome step in the right direction. We can always add, a new tool to the EU's rule of law toolbox. Sadly, however, when you look at the fine print in the regulation, then you quickly realize that it won't be easy to use. And also, in the meantime, the conditionality regulation has been de facto suspended. So to make the situation even worse, the conditionality regulation won't be activated most likely until 2022. And then once activated, it might take another few months. So essentially, we won't see any measures adopted under this regulation before the end of 2022, if we're lucky. The way the regulation has been drafted at the insistence of the German presidency, does require to satisfy a test which won't be easy to satisfy in practice, essentially to suspend EU money on the basis of this new conditionality regulation. The Commission will have to prove the existence of a link, a connection between a breach of the rule of law and the EU budget in a sufficiently direct way. So no one really knows what that means. I would like to see the Commission initiate infringement actions, which is it has had the power to do since essentially 1957, coupled with interim measures. So essentially, as you say, the rule of law breakdown in Poland, for instance, is really worsening by the day. We need the Commission to act, and we need the Commission to act now. He has the power to launch as many infringement actions as he wants to defend judicial independence. There is no need to wait.
The European Commission triggered proceedings under Article 7 of the EU Treaty against Poland and Hungary in 2017 and 2018, respectively. The Article 7 mechanism seeks to establish whether a breach or risk of breach of EU values is happening and can, in theory, ultimately lead to a suspension of rights for a member state.
So yes, let's talk about the famous or infamous Article 7 of the Treaty on the European Union. This has been on the EU law books for about 25 years now. Now, the suspension of voting rights, this is not going to happen because unanimity is required, and then Polish government is going to protect the Hungarian government and vice versa. What can be done essentially is the council can adopt a number of concrete recommendations for Polish and Hungarian governments to comply with. So this has not been done yet. So we can, however, forget about the suspension of voting rights. This is not on the table as of today. But the council can do more to actually help hold accountable Polish and Hungarian governments. I would say they could at least organize a regular hearing every 6 months, which they haven't done so, using the pretext of the COVID-19 pandemic. So in fact, in the case of Poland, the Council of the EU, which is essentially the EU institution where the national governments meet in Brussels, they have not organized a single hearing in respect of the rule of law situation in Poland since the end of 2018. Last year, based on my personal calculation, the Council of the EU must have spent about 60 minutes in 1 year discussing the destruction of the rule of law in Poland.